I don't know what day it is. I don't know what game's next. You know, I just sort of like, yeah, it's 100%. Been, but it's the best time of the year. I love it.
As I say, it's the most wonderful time of the year. It's the most wonderful. I know you're not recording it, so.
It is. Oh, it is recording. Joseph's got this. Yeah. Yes, Joseph. Hey, we got him.
Welcome to the Brad and Body Podcast. You already know who we are. We wouldn't be here, so let's not waste any more time. Here's Bradley.
Happy New Year, everyone. It's 2025. The bells are ringing. Body's singing. It's fantastic times. The WNBL's been brilliant. The NBL's been brilliant. We're back. It's the Brad and Body Podcast 2025 version. Hello, my man.
Hello, and let me just say, the interview you did after the Cairns Illawarra game where you said to Taron Armstrong, you're undefeated.
How good was that?
A beautiful moment. You know what you were talking about. He's like, mate, we just lost 2,000 games in a row. It's like, ding, penny drop.
And then, I've had some Cairns people come through to me, yeah, Brad, yes, we are undefeated 2025. Good on you, hey, Illawarra, aren't
We'll talk about that.
WNBL, let's start there. There's been some magnificent games, and I've really, really enjoyed it. Boddy, what have you liked?
Well, look, I think what's happened is we have seen Bendigo and Perth separate themselves from the
pack.
But the pack is Townsville, Sydney, Adelaide, and Southside. I don't think Canberra and Geelong are factors beyond their ability to spoil, you know, knock a team off here and there, as Canberra just did recently over Adelaide. But I think Adelaide now falls out of this equation, unfortunately, for Scott Ninnis, the new interim coach, because...
Did you add Geelong into that or no?
No.
Well, then you've got your top four, you're saying, Flyer and Flames.
I'm dropping Adelaide out of the calculation
now. Okay.
So that it's back to basically Southside when it gets itself together, Sydney and Townsville are the three teams.
You think Southside, right. Well, let me just say, so people are listening, 12 and 2 is the Spirit, 10 and 3 are Perth. So that's where they're quite a gap.
They've separated themselves.
They have. Fire 7 and 5, Flames 5 and 7, and then you saw Geelong 4 and 7, Flyers 4 and 8, Caps 3 and 10, although had a good win, and Lightning 5 and 8 at the moment. But you're saying no, from what you've seen.
My thing with Adelaide is I thought their first five was as good as any in the league. Compete with that, and then when you go to the bench, then they can fall away. So that's why they wouldn't be a championship contender. Mm-hmm. But now they don't have that first five anymore because Japrice Dean, their US WNBA playmaking import, has got a broken finger. She's already missed a couple of games. She's going to miss a couple more. So at 5 and 8, they dropped to 5-10, 5-11. They're out of it. They're done. So I think Adelaide, unfortunately, because of injury, they're out of it. Southside is the one that is dubious. They've got to get it together. Mm-hmm. So I'm really looking now. Townsville, Sydney, probably are the ones that complete the four.
I completely agree. I've watched a number of games, and to our listeners, you'll be hearing this. We're not sort of talking about rounds at the moment because there's been a number of games and everything that's gone on over the Christmas and New Year period. So we're just talking in general. You know, Bendigo had that little hiccup where they lost two. They're looking great. I actually saw them live at Sydney over the time, and I thought they were wow.
They built them, didn't they? Oh yeah, they did.
And I didn't think the Flames were that bad, if I can put that way. I thought it wasn't like the Flames weren't trying. It wasn't like they didn't, you know, couldn't do it. They just were not at that level. And I look at that. Perth are probably the only team, and I agree with you, that could even compete. But, mate, this is Bendigo's to lose. Bar an injury, this thing's done. Like, I just can't see how they don't win. They're 5-1 at home. They're 7-1 on the road. But... can Perth steal one is really what it's going to come down to, but I don't know.
Yeah, well, it's going to be interesting, but at this stage, the only other side that I think that can threaten is Townsville. Do you have a player? Let's go. Do you have a player of the round for the women at the moment? I know we're in between rounds and middle of rounds and whatever, but do you have one?
Probably a little bit of watching biased would be there. I mean, I've watched a number of games, but being there, I just thought Kelsey Griffin was outstanding with her 18 and 14. She just looked like, I know she's just coming back from the injury and, you know, sort of getting her feet under her. And, you know, with the Sammy Whitcombs and Tolo in that team, and they were great. And I just love the way she was playing. Can I just add, after that game as well, we were getting set up for commentary, getting prepared for the NBL.
And you were doing a little soft shoe shuffle, were you? Dance, little like waltz
that?
With Joe.
You like that? No? My kids are loving this, mate.
I don't love it.
No, I'm sure you don't. And there's quite some others that aren't either.
I got a Hungry Jack's head.
Yeah. But can I say that... they were coming over and like they were waving and hi, and you know, it was like they're so friendly, the Bendigo girls. I mean, I know all of them are, but I can only say what's in front of me. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. And you know, Tolo comes up and speaks to Derek, and Sammy Wick and I have a little bit of wave and talk, and you know, it was just really nice. It's just they're so down to earth, those girls, and that's what I love. And I'm saying that because that also wins championships. Good people make good teams.
Oh, absolutely.
Right. They just look a happy, but I mean, why wouldn't you when you got that team, right? But Bendigo's to lose.
Yeah. And so, but there's a contrast for you. I mean, Sammy's been on the program. We know what a great woman she is, and a great basketball player. But there's your contrast. You're talking about a group that's together. And now we look at, say, Adelaide 36ers in the NBL. And you've seen nothing of that until the Sydney game, and they've been a splintered group. It's the exact opposite.
We'll talk about that. Hang on, give your play of the round, please. Yes, please.
Yeah, Charlie Collier.
Nice.
Caps.
What a game that was.
Whew. Yep, 25 points at 70%.
Yeah.
16 rebounds.
Yep.
Is that right? Is that what I've got? Or six rebounds? I can't read my own writing. Anyway, she had an outstanding game. She was fantastic. And I think that's the one where Canberra Caps probably have ended the Lightning's chances of being in the postseason.
You didn't like the way the Lightning did that, did you, at all?
What's that?
The way they played, you didn't
like
that.
Yeah, I mean, but they haven't. They need that five. That five gets them going, and then the subs as they come in are able to hold the fort, sort of thing. But when you're totally sort of really reliant on players that don't play much, well, you know, it's a bit like watching Cairns prior to its win over Illawarra.
Yeah, 25 and 16, by the way.
16 it was. It was. My writing was correct. Okay, beauty.
They had six people in double figures in that game for both teams. Yeah. You know, and Turner had 12 points, 19 rebounds.
Yeah.
You know, fantastic game. So, to me, do you feel now that any team can make a run? Just Townsville is what I'm hearing.
I would like to think that Southside.
They've
got enough pieces there if they can just get everybody healthy, get Carly Ernst back in there. You know, that's a big player to have missing. I think they could maybe get on a little bit of a roll. But other than that, it's you're right. It's Bendigo's to lose, and Perth is the one that maybe can take it off them.
You know, I look at Southside, and, you know, I've always, like, you know, Beck Cole, and they've got Matty Rocci, Elise Koenig. You know, they've got some people in that Naz Hill. They've got some people that can play in that
program. Did you say Elise Koenig? So you
Alice,
you go to,
sorry.
You go to Northern Territory, you go to Elise Springs. Is that right?
My grandmother was Alice, right? And she was Elise. Like, if you go, so that's like the English. So anyway. And thanks for pointing that out, cranky bum. My goodness. So,
let's not talk about Matt Russell and Kelly Luepe.
A. Koenig was playing really well. I mentioned this to Matty, actually, and I said, we had a little chat about you on our pod. He said, do you know where I got that from, Brad? I said, where? He said, the player.
Yeah, of course. He said,
I went up to him and said, how do you want it pronounced? And he said, blah, 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 exactly how he says it. I went, okay for you. No, well, excellent. The whole of Australia think you're crazy, but well done.
No, I have a total respect for him. As I used to, do you remember George Zanikian back in the day?
Oh, I loved him, absolutely.
His pronunciation was so
perfect. Oh, wasn't
perfect
he great? Yeah,
so,
wasn't he great?
No, I have no issue with that. I just find him amusing.
Good people like that, like Matty and George, you know, they take pride in, I'm going to get that right. Yes. And you know, Matty calls the NRL up here in Sydney, and there's a lot of, you know, names of that type of people, and loves it.
Territory. Send your emails courtesy of Brad.
I just realized what I was saying there. So, but you know, like there's people that, you know, have certain names that want it pronounced correctly, sure. And Maddie's always done that. Doesn't matter what culture.
I'm Nodge, and you look at N-A-G-Y, you never get Nodge out of that. Unless you're Hungarian. You look at it, you're going Nagy or Nagy or something.
Well, you've got a Y at the end, which is, I just say, it's body cranky. All right, we're moving on, and I think we're finished with the WNBL.
Okay, let's go top six.
My top six. Now, slightly different. On the back of Illawarra losing two in a row, although Melbourne's not. I'm going where I think they're going to finish at the end of the season, and this is where I'm at. Melbourne 1, Illawarra 2, Tassie rockets up from 7th the last time we did this for me, from 7th to 3. Sydney 4, Adelaide 5, South East 6, Perth missing out on the 7, New Zealand Bullets and Cairns rounding out the bottom.
Yeah, you see, now I've been a believer in Tasmania the whole way, and I'm not actually looking at it. And this week, I'm not actually looking at it the way you are, as in how it will absolutely finish. I'm going on form right now.
Well, hang on a sec. Round 7, you didn't have Tassie in your 6. Round 9, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I dropped it out.
That'd be throwing that. Oh, I've been good all year.
Yeah, well, I've been bullish that Scott Roth.
No, you have. Get him there. I'm joking. You have.
And I've got them at number one right now.
But you do it. You like to put the numbers the way they're playing there and then. And that's why I like that. So, okay, go your six.
Well, the thing is, what I like about Tasmania is you've got them up to 3. I've got them up to 1. And we're both doing it with no Will Magne.
Yeah,
like you've taken out their franchise big, and he's still getting wins. Just an extraordinary coaching effort from Scott Roth. And that's why I've always had faith in him. I'll go with a good coach, and that's why I'm still have faith in Illawarra as two and Melbourne at 3 and Sydney at 4. Then I go Southeast Melbourne at 5, and I'm sticking with Perth for now at 6.
So read them again. Tassie 1. Let's go through it again. Yep.
Yep. Tassie 1, Illawarra 2, Melbourne 3, Sydney 4, Southeast Melbourne 5, Perth 6.
Wow. So you're saying Melbourne's going to be in a play-in game. Wow. That's right. Semi-final. No. Yeah, they're going to be in that play. Well, what do they call it? Not the play, you know, like 3.
Why don't we just call it a top 6 and stop riding the NBA's coattails, for God's sake? Anyway, yes. Yes. Right at this moment on form, I'd go Tassie and Illawarra, because I'm also thinking that Will Magne comes back.
Oh, yeah, he'll be back. So they're traveling right now. I wonder, I don't know many people that have done like a toe. Like and been out for this length. So I'm wondering, like, you know, the spring is what I'm getting at. Like, that would be really hard to jump.
For sure.
And so I'm like, I'm thinking to myself, you know, most players and commentators, they're sort of like, you know, I've had that soft tissue injury. This is what it feels like. You know what I mean? I've never, ever, like, a toe injury, you know? Like, so I don't know. And you know, you think about it. If that's your big toe, man, that's for everything.
Yeah.
Walking, everything, right? Yeah, so pushing you. Off the whole thing. So it will be very interesting.
Sorry.
All right. I want to go through very quickly a number of teams, and we're just going to go where they're at, right? Because we're not too – okay, so I'm going to start with Melbourne. I still don't worry about them. I think everything's fine. They just need to get back. They just need to get back to that way where it's like, oh, that's how we play. Okay. That's how I see it at the moment. Your thoughts?
But because I agree, Brad, to stay at that high level for the entire season, like who's gone through undefeated? To stay at that level is really difficult. You're going to have your dips. Illawarra's experiencing it for a second time this season right now. But I don't worry about them either, because I think if you've got good coaching and a stable group of players, it'll come back around. So I don't worry about Melbourne either.
Well, let's move on to Illawarra. I'm going to start there. I thought, you know, losing Southeast, okay. Losing to Cairns. Let's take nothing away from Cairns, by the way. They were brilliant, right? They came out with what happened in New Zealand.
Beaten.
Yeah. Right?
They were beaten in that game, and they got out of it.
They showed some real, real courage for that game. But let's talk Illawarra first. That's a couple of bad losses. Games they could have and should have won, probably, at home.
Honestly, the loss to Southeast Melbourne, in that there was a few minutes there in the last quarter where Mason Peatling looked like the work experience kid that they'd brought in, and he didn't know what he was doing. He was awful for a few minutes. Now, okay, I'm not saying he's awful, period, but and there was a couple of other things. Wani Swakalo-Bullock didn't do much in that game.
Yeah, that's a bit of a worry for them. They've got that's two starters you've just mentioned as well, and they haven't started well. So go
and
keep
going. And now you move on to the loss to Cairns, and you've got Dave O'Hickey, really expensive. First of all, he's turned the ball over at one end. He probably thought he got fouled, so he's rushed down, and then he's bashed the bejesus out of Pedro Bradshaw, and then he's hovered over him and given him a little kick for good measure. Mm. It's sort of like an Elaine kick. You know, remember when Elaine was dancing in Seinfeld? Never mind. Doesn't matter.
The one thing I remember in Elaine from Seinfeld is fake.
Fake, fake. Which again also would apply on many things. It's just best. Anyway, let's move on. So he's done that.
Shout out to my good man Dean Utoff. We used to talk about Seinfeld. He actually calls me, my nickname is Cosmo, right? Because we spoke about Seinfeld that much. My nickname for him is Cosmo. Oh, I loved him. Shout out to Chuck Armisen. He and Dean were great mates as well, or are still great mates. But anyway, sorry, keep going.
All recruited by Nun Award Inspectors back in the day. Anyway. Yep. So he's done his little kick. So what he's done is he's given up two free throws and then two free throws. So he's squandered the 70-66 lead they had. He did that there.
Well, I was thinking about it.
In a fit of pique, which he's just not in a position to be.
So I'm going to go a little bit more here. That was a 7-point turnaround for two plays for Davo. And I love the kid, right? But it's very big learning curve, right? So he gives up the foul, take that away. That was always going to be two free throws, right? That's fine. But then what he then did was another two free throws. Side possession, they score. That's 4 points. Then the three at the end of the game that Rob Edwards hit from a turnover that was very costly. Now, that's 7 points.
You know what? Now, I don't want to knock Davo, but he had a much easier pass over the top a couple of metres away to Trey Kell. And to pull that out, but here's the thing. I don't know if you'll remember this, but many years ago, New Zealand at Cairns, I think, or playing in Cairns against Brisbane when we had all that sort of COVID-related stuff and New Zealand was playing all that. Anyway,
I remember that COVID thing. I know you said if I wouldn't remember. I do remember that, so thanks for asking.
Yeah. I'm talking about when William McDowell-White, who we both respect and love as a star player, he's done exactly the same thing. They've got that game wrapped up. He's got an easy pass to Tom Abercrombie. He throws a wild one, intercept, shot. They lost on that.
Yep.
So on this one.
But let me just say this, right? 7 points, you can say whatever you like about Dave O'Hickey. Guys, that doesn't lose you the game. The fact that you gave up 40 in the third quarter.
Oh, my God, what are they doing?
40-21. That loses your game. I don't care about turnovers. You can talk whatever you like if you're going to come out and do that. All right, so we talk about Illawarra. We know they're going to be fine. We talk about Melbourne. We know they're going to be fine. Tassie, we've spoken about, wow, what a run. On no doubt in my mind, it's got a lot to do with the fact that Sean McDonald's there. Right, he makes a massive difference. I must admit, I don't know of a role player because I hope I'm not saying that in a bad way, but really, you know, he's not that, you know, Chris Golding bang, you know what I mean? Like, it's just for a guy that is a role player and not, you know, the superstar of the team. Can you think of someone that's been this integral? I mean, do you put him in that Damian Martin category? And please, no disrespect to Damo because the guy's an Olympian. Do you know what I mean? Like a guy that when he's not there, wow, Shay Ely, these guys, like they're just like such a big out that's noticeable. Is he there yet, Sean McDonald, with that?
Within that team, yes. Because he was pivotal last season in their success. You know, remember during the championship series, Jordan Crawford had a couple of not too brilliant games, and it was Sean McDonald that stepped up, and then Crawford came good in the fifth game. But, you know, so I think
at players throughout the industry that we've been in, right, that you look at players that have made, you know, the first one is Giddy, right, Warwick Giddy. Like the guy could score no points. Right. And still have a huge impact on the game.
Yeah.
Right. That's what I'm talking about. Guys like that. I'm trying to think around. Yeah. I mean, who are those? Damian Martin was another one, obviously.
Yeah, yeah.
Shaley, although he's a bit more of a scorer.
When Shay gets a ball in the backcourt and he puts his head down, I think if you're not awake, he's going to drive all the way to the hoop.
And so is Sean. Sean's a bit of a 3-point shooter and can knock it down. But I'm just thinking, I think it's great that you got these guys that are just such good, you know. I mean, Quatnoy is another one at the moment, but he's really putting the ball in the hole. So that's probably not a good example. But yeah, look, really impressed with them. Tassie rocking it up. If they get in that top two, That's a that's really scary because that place in Tasmania is rocking. They don't lose there, mate.
I'm being completely honest, I wouldn't have them in the top two at the end of the season.
Right.
I think with it's going to come back to roost that Will Magnay's missing. They're going to drop a couple.
I think they're going to
finish top four. I do think they'll finish top four.
But well, they're 7-2 at home, 4-5 on the road. So that's where I say, like, that's a little bit tough. And don't forget, there's 29 games this year, everyone. I've been asked this quite a lot, right, because you've got 14 home, 14 away, but the Perth first game of the season when it was that summer or the start of it, whatever it was.
Hoops Fest, yes.
Every game was classed as a neutral game. Yeah. Right, that's what it was. So they're 7-2 at home, but, yeah, that road win. And I do agree with you. I don't want to be disrespectful to Tasmania, but dude, you can't take out your best player and not get a hiccup. It just doesn't happen in this league, right? So,
but then you look at Ian Hummer, and I know he hasn't played many minutes, but for want of a better term, defensively, he is humming. He is out there and he's telling him, he's working his butt off. And I think he's a real asset to that team. And I'm thinking he's going to be getting even better. So, when Will Magnay comes back, they're right in the picture, but I think they're top four. I've got them top one now, but I'm basing that on current form.
Right. Okay. Good one. Okay. All right. Well, let's continue to move on here because I want to talk about some other teams. Sydney, look, we've spoken a lot about them. They're bringing in their new import. Gorgian's come out at length.
Why? What is that about, mate? I don't. At the start of the season, we had Joey Wright on the program. The two of you were bullish on Sydney winning the championship. Now, they need more players. They need this. They need that. Jeez. Mm. What do they need?
So I don't disagree with what you're saying. And I think when they set this team up, and this is coming from Chris Pongrass, who was on Overtime with me as well. When they set this team up, they always had that third import spot. There's certain players that are not giving what they thought they would give. And I think that's where it revolves, which every team has, right?
Okay.
Now, I look at an Isaiah Liatha. Hasn't been a great year for him, right? Nope. I think they were expecting to get more out of him, right? So you look at that. I thought Sean Bruce has been actually quite decent this year, and that's probably the only one that I sort of say where they get that. So the whole idea of what they're saying now is we need another ball handler. They feel with Jalen Adams at the one, sometimes can get a bit, you know, sticky hands.
And
it has worked with him going off the ball. I have felt when they put Sean in the one, but I think he wants that extra one. That's what he's getting. Now, I know what everyone in Australia is saying. How do you not want a big? Like, what are you doing?
Because Cam Oliver's all over the place.
Cam Oliver is all over the place, but I've said it here before. They knew what they were getting from Cam. Right or wrong, you know, when you spend the money on the marquee players that they've spent it on, you've only got so much left. Now, I'm not saying that he was a cheap option, but what I'm saying is you just can't go out and get all of those, you know, type of things. One of the things that has helped them, although it's been bad, is Bull Quoll has been out for a number of weeks. He's back now, I know that, but he was out for a number of weeks, and when a person's out, that doesn't count as part of the salary cap. Now, he's on, from what I understand, quite good money as a marquee player, so the money they saved over the time on the salary cap from him, now they can spend on this import. So that's why they won't have to pay a lot of luxury tax or whatever it is. So there's actually method in the madness. Will it work?
Bull Quoll, he has to be the biggest disappointment of the year.
Yeah, probably.
Because he's gone from a terrific defensive player.
3-and-D man. Yep.
Yep. To a knucklehead who's holding guys, who's getting his fouling out, who just does not learn from week to week. I've lost it for him. I was a huge fan, but I have lost it for him.
I cannot argue with you. I called the game the other night where he was his first game back, and he was actually doing a good job with that group that was going well, and then he fouled again. And it's like, stop. Yeah. They need you on the court, mate. You're getting these fouls that you just don't need to do. So, very
he whinges about him. He's never wrong. It's like, mate, you've been playing in the league for a few years now. By now, you've got to realize you're the problem.
Yeah. All right, let's move on. Adelaide, I said it on air as well. I felt, you know, that game in Sydney was what would tell me where they're at, right? You can't know what happened at home previously. That was a disaster.
Against Perth,
Was it Perth?
Yeah, perfect.
Right, okay, sorry. Yeah, where, and that's where Montrez walked off and, you know, players getting angry and Isaac saying what he had to say and everything like that. You can't do that and not have, you know, some stuff go on. The team meeting happened. I've said it before. I believe us in Australia, we're all, you know, rah, rah, rah team. Everyone's got to stay together. But when you have situations where you get a Montrez, you get what you get. I had this guy's like, I play with guys like AC Earl. That's just the way they are, right? That's how they brought up, right? So, but when the white line goes on, then they play, right? When they step over that white line. I have no problems what Montrez is doing purely because you can't expect him to be like that guy, but then all of a sudden be a rah, rah guy. It's not him. If you don't like it, don't have him here. Right, that's the simple thing for me. Then he's not the right choice for your team and move him on. But I don't agree. I like him. I like what they've done. The next few games is what's going to tell me for Adelaide, right? And that's where
you're
going to
have
at.
One or
your
two
thoughts?
Out of the box. Yeah, one out of two. Yeah, but then I don't see them as same with Brisbane. I don't see them in the top six.
Okay.
I think they're the two that miss out.
Southeast Melbourne were brilliant in Illawarra. They were brilliant for three quarters against Sydney Kings. They played seven quarters of championship basketball, and I said it on air. This, dare I say it, they are a legitimate championship threat if they play like this. Then they went back to, excuse the language, shitball. They did that one-out crap where it's like, what have you not watched yourself, right?
But
and
you
they
know,
blow an 18-point lead.
Can I say that there was I thought they showed their great immaturity as a group in that game, that they're not there as a mature sort of level of a Melbourne or Illawarra right now, because at the point when they were 18 up, about the second or third time they were 18 up, they took a timeout. It was late in the third or early in the fourth. They took a timeout, and the assistant coaches are grinning and high-fiving the players, and they're coming off like the game's over. Mate, the game's not over. And then you come to the last quarter, Geordie Hunter, who I'm a huge fan of, just throws a real casual turnover. Oh, well, we're still there. We're 14. That was okay. Goes down. There's a screen for Jalen Adams. He comes off wide open. Geordie's playing off him. Late makes a little move towards him. Swish. Two silly fouls. I'm thinking, Geordie, what are you doing? The game is not wrapped up. What's happening? So he's a guy that's won championships. I was disappointed in his last quarter because they're the guys you look to. And then you've got Sobey. Sobey goes back to, I'm going to be the hero. Now, for weeks, Josh King has managed to get Sobey to play as a team player. And that's why they've looked good. That's why he's looked good. That last quarter, as you say, it went back to one on. But when you say one on five, Sobey, a lot of bad shots in that last quarter. A lot of bad decisions.
38-16 in the fourth. 38-16. Ridiculous.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, well, we've spoken about the other teams. We don't really need to worry about this.
Okay.
We're starting.
I'm still not worried about Southeast Melbourne.
Give me your best moment.
Player of the round?
Oh, my player of the round? I'm going to go... I think we're going to do this together, buddy. I'm actually going Jalen Adams. I thought he's had a couple of good games. I thought he had 41 against the Kings. Yeah. Well, not I thought he did have 41 against the Kings. Then he had 32 against
them. He was with the Kings. I mean, he may have been against the Kings because they might have lost. But,
well,
sometimes
no one else touches the ball. No, 41 against South. No, that was – who was that against? My God, I've watched that.
41 was the loss to Adelaide.
Sorry. Then he had 32 against Southeast Melbourne, and he was great. So, to me, he was the player of the round. I thought he did everything he could to get the team to win.
I'm a big fan of guys who win games for you at the end, make the big shot, and Taron Armstrong – just even heaving that ball, just having the sense to heave that ball with no time on the clock and then lean in to make sure he got a call.
What was Hong Jun Lee doing? What was he doing?
Yeah,
stay
and then
away
to walk
from
down
that
there and slot all three, you know, that was that. 28
I don't know if it came on air, but I'm standing at the commentating that game, obviously, sideline. Yep. I'm standing at Cairns' bench, and I'm just like standing there waiting because I've got to interview Taron, assuming he makes these, right? That's how weird it was all. And then all of a sudden, Adam Ford turns around, he starts walking towards me, he puts his head on my shoulder, right, and just goes, why am I doing this? It was just fantastic. And I was like, mate, I don't know how you coaches deal with this shit. Sorry, excuse me, I just had to say with that, right? And I don't even know if he watched, and then he, you know, heard, like, turned around and like was like, yes, we got, you know, like, it was really cool. But it was just that what these coaches go through, unbelievable. All right,
I mean, even there, Armstrong's only got to make one of those. But he swishes all three.
I know, all three. All right.
You said ice in the veins. You're right. 28.50%. Yeah, he's my man. What? Nodge Nasty? Yep. I'm going with a Nodge Nicey.
Hold the phones. What's going on?
My State Bank Arena where the Tassie Jack Jumpers pay 50 straight sellouts. Time to get that venue a little bit.
Amen. Amen. Come on, Tassie government.
More people in there.
Well, they've got the AFL coming in there as well. There's money going into the state. So, I mean, there's 4,000 people or whatever it is going into that. Mate, there's probably 2, 3, 4,000 people that are not going. That's what the count is, right? Get that stadium.
The AFL's got a team down there now because they're pooping themselves that the Jack Jumpers have really
Larry, NBL, imagination of the tick, state. Tick, tick. We killed it down there and it's bloody going awesome.
Give me your Rattler.
My Rattler. Dumb basketball. Stop, guys. This dumb basketball is driving me nuts. Illawarra at the end of the game. What are you guys doing? You had it won. You throw the ball away. You foul a three-point shooter. Southeast Melbourne, you burp up an 18-point game, 38-16. Illawarra in the game before where they lost to Southeast Melbourne. Attention to detail, people. Get back to that attention to detail. Don't play that crappy basketball. We're not the NBA where 73s get missed in a game. We don't want to be that. That's not what we are. We play good basketball. We play smart basketball. And that's what gets you wins in this league. Dumb basketball gets you losses. It's not one team. It's a lot of teams. You got to get back. And coaches, I know, you sit in the video and you say, look, guys, here's what we look like when we do X. Here's what we look like when we do Y. No more Y. Please, no more Y. But then when they get back into this bed. Oh, we're out of here. Let's go.
Get out.
Hello, everyone. Goodbye, everyone. It's been great. Nodge Nasty. I love you. Oh, Nodge Nicey. It's good. See you next time.
So, Brad, I've been listening to you lately, and I think you're Ted Lasso's more positive brother. I mean, honestly, and now you're dancing. What on earth is going on?
Mate, I'm going to get the botchy moustache. Ted Lasso, I love it.
It's trademarked, you know that.